Jesus and his disciples at this time are sitting on the side of a mountain. They're having conversations amongst themselves. Some of the disciples are speaking over others, but Jesus kind of has his head bowed. Maybe he's in prayer. All of a sudden, the Bible tells us that as Jesus raises his head, he looks into the distance, and as he looks into the distance, he sees this crowd walking towards him. And it's not just any crowd, it's a massive crowd. In fact, there's more than 5,000 people in this crowd, and they're walking towards Jesus. Now, the reason this crowd is coming towards Jesus is because they like what he's doing. You see, he's very impressive, and he's healed many of their sick. And you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that as Jesus looks upon them, he has compassion. Wow, that's totally different than probably what I would be thinking. I would be thinking, are you kidding me? I just spent all day yesterday with you. But they're coming after him, and Jesus has compassion on him. Why? That word compassion in the Greek is derived from the word that we get intestines. In other words, when the Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on them, what it's telling us is that Jesus had a gut-level experience. That was his response to the people. But not just to the people, but to their needs and their suffering. You know what happened next, don't you? Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, there's something that I want to share with you about these crowds. These crowds follow Jesus. These crowds seek after him. These crowds listen to him. These crowds are amazed by his teaching. And these crowds even bring their sick to him for healing. But the Bible also tells us that it was these crowds who hollered at him, "Crucify him, crucify him." But every once in a while, somebody steps out of the crowd and they become a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from John chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 60 through 69. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are all full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, no matter what, I'm a committed disciple. to you and to your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I sit on a board of trustees for a college called, or university called Warner University. It's located in Lake Wales, Florida. While I was there, Lori and I were there serving South Lake Wales Church of God, the church was located right on the campus, and so we got to know the campus and the students very, very well. It was one of our favorite times of ministry. But one of the things I learned being around higher education, and also from my own time in college, and maybe this will be a good reminder for you, and that is this. When you take a class, you can take a class for credit or you can audit a class, right? Some of you may be taking a class right now. I don't know, but you can do it one of the two ways. Now, if you audit a class, there's no pressure, right? I mean, you're probably taking the class because you have some kind of interest in the subject matter, but there's no big deal. If I don't want to show up for class, I don't have to. I'm just auditing the class, right? Oh, but if you take the class for a credit, oh, now it's a different story, isn't it? You see, now you're taking the class for a grade. That means you're committed. You're committed to the lectures, you're committed to the homework, you're committed to the tests, you're committed to studying. You are committed because your grade will be based on the work that you did. I think that sometimes that this could be true of how we describe our following of Jesus. And so I would just ask you this morning, are you auditing Jesus or are you taking him for credit? We're in a series right now called Come and See. And last week as we began this series, we heard and we learned about how Jesus was identified not as the Messiah, but as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember, last week, our lesson covered over 4 days. And the number four is important because it is equivalent to a work of God, a great work of God. And what was the great work that God did? He identified his son Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And remember, the Lord told John the Baptist, he says, this is how you will know who the Lamb is. There will be a dove that will come down and it will land on his head and it will stay there. That's how you will know. I wonder how John the Baptist thought when he saw it land on his cousin Jesus. Wow. You know what? I'm not surprised. I got to tell you, if that dove landed on my cousin, I'd be thinking, no way. But that's not how it was with John the Baptist. He knew that this was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Remember what happened next? Then a few of the disciples of John left him. Andrew and John were the first ones. They left him to follow Jesus. And you remember what happened? As they were following behind Jesus, Jesus stopped and he turned around and he looked at him and he goes, what do you want? Great question, right? And remember the disciples asked him, where are you staying? Where do you live? We want to come hang out with you at your house. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, come and see. That's the series that we're in right now. Come and see. In other words, Jesus is inviting us to come and see. Get proof. Investigate with your own eyes. Come and watch and be a part of the incredible power of Almighty God. Come and be a part of what he's doing. He's redeeming a lost world, and his plan is now moving forward. And this is the one, this Jesus of Nazareth, he is the one, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. And you know what? Jesus still invites us to come to be a part of his ministry. So now, we're in Capernaum. And Capernaum was the place where Jesus called his second home. It was actually the headquarters for his ministry. There are more miracles that happened in Capernaum than any other place. But what I want you to know is that where Jesus is, at this point in time, he's in the synagogue. He's in church. And guess what? He's preaching. The title of his message is, I am the bread of life. Now, I want you to understand something, because you could have heard a pin drop in the synagogue. They were hanging on every word that Jesus said. And then Jesus made a statement that kind of made them turn their heads a little bit. And the statement was this: if any man believes in me, he will have eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that word in the scripture, and when I hear that, if I were to hear Jesus say, if any man believes in me, you will have eternal life, my question is going to be, so what exactly do you mean by believe? I mean, let's make sure that we understand what Jesus is really saying here. Well, if you read the Bible, this is what the Bible will tell you about what it means to believe in Jesus. It means to trust in Jesus. It means to rely on Jesus. It means to cling to Jesus. It means to have a trusting love in him. The way that I would probably describe it would be like the woman who was bleeding. Remember, for 12 years, she was trying to find a cure, and then she heard about this man by the name of Jesus. And she thought, I don't want him to see me. I don't want him to recognize me. I was just going to go, and I'm going to grab a hold of his garment, and I'm going to hold on for dear life. And that faith and that trust and that reliance is seen in the way we live our lives. Now, Jesus wants to take this message, and he really wants to drive it home so that the people understand loud and clear what he's saying. And here's what he's saying to them and to you and I. He's saying everybody in this world feeds on something. What do you feed on? Now, you may be thinking to yourself, last night it was pizza. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. But good try. You see, what Jesus is trying to get them to understand is he's going beyond the physical realm and he's going into the spiritual realm. He's going straight to the heart. And he says, you all feed on something. What are you feeding on? And that's the question that I would pose to you this morning. What do you feed on? Do you feed on success? Do you feed on the fact that you need to be loved and liked by other people? Do you feed on the fact, I got to have this house, I got to have this kind of income, I've got to have this kind of money, it's about the car that I drive? What do you feed on? And then Jesus goes on and he tells them, he says, I am the bread that comes from heaven. And whatever you are feeding on, if it's not me, it will never satisfy. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Oh, it feels good for a little while, I'll tell you, doesn't it? Driving that new truck, boy, I look good. Smells good. I keep it clean. But you know what? After a while, it's like, eh. And then we go look for something else. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He's telling us, I am the bread of heaven. I came down from heaven. And if you truly take me in and feed on me, you will understand what true satisfaction is all about. Now, you know what? I think if he had just stopped right there, he probably would have been doing really good, but he doesn't. Oh, he's going to drive this thing home. And then he goes in and he talks about, not only do they need to feed on him, he says, you need to eat my flesh. Now the people in the audience are kind of turning their heads and looking at one another. What do you mean we need to eat your flesh? You see, what Jesus is talking about is he's saying, I'm the bread of heaven. As you receive and you take the bread of heaven into you, you are taking in the body, my body, which was given as a sacrifice for their sins.
In other words, Jesus is going all the way back to what John pronounced. And Jesus was saying, if you eat of my flesh, if you eat of my body, like in communion, when we eat of his body, we are taking in and we are receiving and proclaiming that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Stop there, Jesus, please. Oh, no. Then he goes for the blood. Now, people were really struggling because everybody knew in those days that when you talked about the blood, you're talking about a sacrifice. And so what they hear Jesus saying is that if you eat my body, if you drink my blood, guess what? You are saying and agreeing with me that my sacrifice is the only one sacrifice that ever needs to take place. My sacrifice, my death on the cross is the only thing that will truly satisfy and bring you eternal life. So Jesus is telling them, and he's telling us, guess what? You are what you eat. And Jesus says, feed on me. Feed on me all life long. Now watch what happens here. In John 6, verse 6, it says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? In other words, as Jesus is teaching this lesson, as he's looking out into the crowd, just like I'm looking at today, he sees on their faces they don't like what he's teaching. I want you to know, I don't look at different points in the sanctuary. I look at your eyes. And I want you to know also is that when I do a service, a funeral service, I always include John 14. You know why? Because John 14 is as simple and as plain as it gets. Thomas said, how do we know where you're going? We don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I can't tell you how many times when I've done a service, and Pastor John, I'm sure, could agree, when people will turn their heads, they'll roll their eyes. Yes, I've seen people roll their eyes. They'll bow their heads. They don't want to have anything to do with it, and I can see it in their face. Do you know why they're upset? Because now they have the truth and they must deal with it. They don't have an excuse anymore. Well, I didn't know. No, you heard exactly the truth of God's word. And God's word says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now it's on you. And that's where Jesus is. He can see they're struggling with this. So what's Jesus doing? Jesus is hitting them right between the eyes with the truth. And what he's doing is he's weeding out all of those who are weak. Now again, if Jesus just would have stopped there, but he doesn't. And he goes on, he says, hey, you know what? If you think this is hard, what are you going to do when you see me ascend to my Father in heaven from which I came? Well, let's see. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Wow. That would be like a pastor up here teaching or preaching, and people start getting up left and right and start walking out the door. But that's what's happening. The Bible says many of them, not a few, many of them struggled with this. So what does Jesus do? Jesus turns and now he looks at his 12. These are the ones that have been with him a while, that have been investigating. And look at what he says to them. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. You see, do you realize what Jesus just saw? Jesus just saw a very large group of people who were on the right path,
And they chose to leave that path which leads to life and get on the path that is wider, the path that is smooth, the path that doesn't demand a commitment. And Jesus sees them walk away. Now watch what happens here. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." You know what I've learned about someone who is a true believer? We can't quit. We just can't quit. And you remember Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Come and see." And that's what they did. And so Peter is coming to Jesus, and here's what he's saying. Two things. Number one, I have come and I have seen, and the first thing I've learned is this. Your words are truth. Your words, you're right. They truly satisfy. And the second thing is this. You invited us to come and see, and we have come and seen, and we have investigated. We've been walking with you. We've been listening to you. We've watched these incredible miracles. We've seen firsthand and heard the relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. And here's what we can tell you, Jesus. We believe you're the real deal. Amen. What they were saying to Jesus was this: we're committed to you. We're committed. We've left everything that we have, and we are committed to you because we believe you are what leads us directly to the Father. We're getting towards March Madness right now, just another week away. In fact, 2 weeks from today is the Sunday when we find out who's going to the big tournament, right? You know what the big thing the coaches are talking about right now? Buy-in. They're telling us, you know what? This is the time when my players have to buy in to what we're doing. Well, how do you know when they buy in? You know what the answer is? I can see it in their performance on the court. Today's a day that we have chosen to demonstrate our buy-in to the Lord Jesus Christ and our commitment to Him. And you know how we're going to see it? In the way we live our lives. That's how Jesus is going to see it in us and how we live our lives. So today we've come to the day when we are going to commit of our finances above and beyond our giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. And based on this, we are going to bring about a refresh, not only to our church and our campus, but into each of our lives individually. There's a couple things that I want to say before we walk through this. And the first thing is this. If you are a guest this morning, welcome. We are so glad you are here, but I just want to say to you, you don't need to participate in this. But I do hope that you'll stay and watch. Watch a body of believers who are part of the family of God exemplify their faith in Him to do more than we can think or imagine. Here's the second thing that's going to happen. The lights are going to come up. We want that so that you can see. For those of you who are up in the balcony, be careful. What I would say is that if you want to just wait and turn in your commitment cards afterwards, we have boxes both at the guest services and also right outside of the wall where we have the refresh, all the information there. We figure this is probably going to take us about 10 minutes, but I want you to know that we have boxes that are laid up here, and you can see that these are totally confidential. Nobody is going to see what you're giving. Nobody is going to see your card. It's going to go directly in the box, and that's where it's going to stay until the individual that we have counting them are going to put them together. You may ask, well, what about Pastor Bob if I've got my pledge card? Guess what? You're in luck. We've got them for you right in the pews. And I want to just remind you is that if you've already given, just fill out that card and put in there, we've already given our pledge, but we want you to come forward and we want you to participate in what we're getting ready to do. The last thing that I want to do is I just want to speak to our friends who are worshiping with us online. You too can participate in this. And in just a couple minutes there, the people who are online are going to be talking with and sharing with you exactly what it is that you can do. We're not in a hurry. You can take your time. You can spend some time in prayer with your spouse or with your family or individually. And then as God nudges you, I would just ask you to come forward and just to place your commitment cards in these boxes. And as you do, we are going to worship together. I feel like at this moment today, what God has put on my heart is this. It's that time when Moses was standing at the Red Sea. And the people were complaining and grumbling. Remember what Moses said? He goes, "Stand back and behold the mighty arm of the Lord." My prayer is, God, whatever you're going to do today, do it big. And may you receive all power, praise, and glory for the multitudes in the future who are yet to know you, but will come through what we do here today. God bless you, and I invite you to move forward. I'm going to ask you all just to be seated. And we have a video that we made just to encourage you, to tell you a little bit about where we've been and where God is taking us. Would you just watch the screens, please?
Over the 115-year history of Central Community Church, there have been defining moments that required this congregation to step out in faith. Now, as we look to the future once again, it's hard not to draw parallels to one defining moment that led us to where we are now. The small church building, which had already been added on to twice, was full.
One thing that I remember about the old church was there was a tightness because the building was almost incapable of holding all the people.
At the old church, we were in two services packed out. The parking lot was so full that you couldn't find a place.
It was time to build. And to fund the completion of this new building, each family needed to consider how God was asking them to contribute to His plan.
I know just our family, there were things that we put aside. Dad sat us down, talked to us. You know, this is for something bigger, bigger than us. This is for our future. This is for you, for your kids, for your grandkids coming up. So these are the things that we're going to give up for now. There was some sacrifice, but it was so worth it, knowing what it was for, where it was going.
It wasn't about equal giving, but equal sacrifice. Each family stepped out in faith as God enabled them, and together, they were about to make history.
I was thinking, gosh, we're never going to get in here. It's going to be so big. But just the enormity of everything about it and the faith that was taken to start this project, to start the building of the church, and the move, goodness, that was a busy time, very busy time.
During that whole year or more of building this place, we would see it. I saw this room totally filled with scaffolding.
Finally, the new building was finished. The pinnacle of this defining moment happened when the entire congregation processed from the church on South Market to 6100 West Maple.
There were, I don't know how many hundred cars, but we left the old church and we drove to here. That was quite a morning to do that as a church, to enter into here, and then we had worship.
And the first Sunday we were here, the choir was on the balcony all the way down, and we processed up to the choir loft singing Majesty and All the Glory Belongs to Jesus. And it was just so moving at that time.
I remember just the first time coming in and just walking around, just kind of in awe of the building. I mean, I know it's a building, but still it's...
There was a untapped energy that just resonated with everybody.
And it was a moment when we recognized that the project we were doing was so big that without God, we couldn't have done it.
The building was never a risk, truly. The church trusted that God had a plan to see it to completion, but still.
And I think there's always that question, can we do what we set out to do? But there was such an undergirding of prayer, and there was a feeling that we were going to do this together. All the various ministries were growing at that time. There was a hungering for the body of Christ and for becoming disciples of Christ. I think as there is today, we're catching that rhythm.
Now, as spiritual momentum is building again, Central Community Church stands at the threshold of a new defining moment. What part do you have in preparing this place for radical hospitality that will draw people into the love of Christ?
Churches are not made to be monuments. They're not to be preserved, but they're to be sharing in whatever the movement is in the future.
Just thinking about our kids. The idea that we're going to reinvest into the building a structure that'll be here for when my kids are grandparents is just phenomenal, because we got to experience that. That's what I'm really looking forward to with the Refresh, is the continuation, and we're going to pass it down to the next and to the next and to the next.
Just being alive to experience it. There's, like you said, it's a new season, and just knowing that there will be something for each of us to do to be able to share the Lord that much more.
Preparing for the future will require sacrifice, courage, generosity, and faith. We are reimagining the ways in which we can serve our community and our world. As we renovate this beautiful building for the future, we do so knowing it's all for a greater purpose.
And as the Holy Spirit leads, we will gain further understanding and we'll gain a further excitement for who God is and for the renewal of ourselves. If it brings renewal to our church and to ourselves, that is the goal. It is not so much how it looks, this church looks, but it's what this church is.
Amazing. I don't know about you, but Pastor George hasn't changed one bit, has he?
Not one bit.
You look as good now as you did then. I want to close with these words, and I'm going to ask you to stand, please. The feeling that comes to my mind, the thought that comes to my mind is all of those people who I called pillars who went to be with Jesus. I think about one of our ushers, Slim, who just went to be with Jesus just this last week. And you know what they would be saying about us right now? That's my church. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "He who begun a good work will bring it to completion." And we're a part of that. We're going to close with the doxology, and then I'm going to give you the benediction. So, Pastor George. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his joy, his peace, and his strength. God bless you. Great things are coming. Have a great day.